All right, okay. How's things going?
Go ahead, David. I'll let you go first. You had a good experience last time.
well, things have been going pretty good. I'd say there's definitely a lot of new encounters that I'm trying to get myself to. I guess I try to understand and I try to get what's going on, but with everything that's so new, it's kind of hard to quite grasp what's really happening. So, I mean, I can say that I've got to, interact a little more and engage more since we have last. But yeah, I think it's been going well.
Good.
Trying to get myself to be more like a child and just accept and understand, rather than having to try to figure it all out.
Yeah, no, that's always good. He likes us coming to him like little children.
Yeah,
That's good.
and we have to, or else I think it'll be just that much more stressful on ourselves.
Okay, well, that's great. Excellent. Okay. What about you, Mike?
Me, Mike? Yeah, probably I'll go first. I think I would have to describe like these last, since our last time I was able to communicate, because I wasn't there 2 weeks ago because we were at the beach, but this last month has been, I would just consider it kind of like dry. I haven't had a whole lot of real, supernatural experiences. Drawing closer to the Lord, experiencing more of his revelation and truth, but for whatever reason, and I've been asking the Lord about it and spending time, so I'm not going to fret over it. I'm not going to worry. I mean, I've journeyed, with him now for 35 years, so I know that he's got a timing for things as well. So, but excited still to see what God's doing. There's a lot of supernatural and even physical events that are taking place, I think, on our earth, that's really saying we're in a significant time.
Yeah. Okay. So did you sort of make any sort of decisions about getting other people involved or inviting people to participate in things?
I did, and I was going to use a Saturday night, and unfortunately, between basically then and now, we've had a marriage weekend, we've had a couple other things that we've had to do, so it hasn't been really conducive to just plan it. I think what I probably just have to do is just out of the blue, just invite people. Hey, there's Josh, and just do it, impromptu. And I think that's the only way it's going to, get done. At least with, and I talked to a few people about it, and they're all wide open to do it. They're all excited about it. And David would be happy to share his testimony. I told him that, you have offered to potentially, join us on maybe not that night, but on another night. And everybody thought it was pretty good. So, I have thought about it, and I do want to implement it. Just haven't had an opportunity yet.
Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you, Dookie. What about you, Mike? How's things going with you?
Oh, jeez. I wouldn't know where to start. I've actually had some amazing encounters. I was just at a meeting with my friend in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And he had just come from, I'm not sure what area you're in, but he was with Ian for about 30 days or more,
All right.
just staying out in that area and stuff. Anyhow, did a meeting with him and stuff, and I actually shared the experience, one of the experiences I had. I went there even a week before that, I was driving down the road when I was doing the meeting, and I happened to listen to one of your, I don't know, it was the 19th or 20th, and you were taking the people through a step-by-step encounter. And so I'm driving down the road with my eyes closed. No, I'm not really. So I'm just listening, and taking it all in. And then when I get to the hotel, I was just communicate with my wife. She's been dealing with some stuff physically, praying for her or whatever. And so I was just, by recall, you know, I was just praying, and all of a sudden I was remembering the steps she went through. So I went through all these different steps and was having amazing encounters at these different steps with the Ark of the Covenant and the Chancellors, and then going into, you know, Jesus to the Mary of the Angels. And so I remember the path all of a sudden toward wisdom. And this whole time when I've heard different things about wisdom, I was like, man, I'd like to meet wisdom, you know, because I've heard other testimonies and so forth. So, you know, I'm going up the path, the whole pillar thing, and all of a sudden in that moment, because I'm not expecting this at all, my mind is beginning to race, my heart is starting pumping, and, you know, faster, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to meet wisdom. And so it was like really obscure, but I just kept leaning into this experience, and then all of a sudden, I saw her eyes. Hmm. And she looked at me and smiled, and she goes, there you are. And she goes, I see you, and you see me. And I just was like, oh my gosh. Actually, later, it was quite emotional for me because, you know, again, it just took me by surprise. But I engaged her eye, just became a gateway. I saw things about the future, about creation. Mm. What caught me off guard is I experienced a couple things that I had done when I was a teenager. And it was kind of like I thought I dealt with that, and it actually dealt with creation. Mm. And so, you know, I was just, it was kind of a cleansing. Repentive or whatever, but it just, you know, I was just like, oh my gosh. So I felt like I was, you know, clearing, you know, that out of the way. And so anyhow, it went from there to, you know, I ended up on the mountain and getting just a view of, you know, a bunch of other things about the future. But it all started with the mandate that was given to me. So I got another piece, you know, about that and a clarity dealing with creation and things like that. So it was very, very an awesome experience. I don't know if other people, though, are... I find that when I'm engaging now like this, I wrestle more with stuff, like just life stuff that, you know, where it tries to interfere, take up my time. It just seems like it accelerated. Like now I got all this, you know, these things, and I want to push these things out of the way and, you know, stay, you know, anyhow, it just seems like it enhanced that whole world. So it's quite the juggling act.
Yeah. All right. Good. Excellent. Okay. What about you, Josh?
Well, that's very exciting. Good morning, everybody. I am, I'm still taking my opportunities and learning, you know, about the courts and training myself to, much like Mike was saying, in a way, you know, to be able to, oh, I don't know, multitask in the spirit, or, you know, where I can what I feel like where I've been lately is to heighten my level of awareness and the spirit to whatever degree. It's all obviously a learning curve for me and for all of us. But so, you know, I'm doing very simple things to be aware while I'm in the midst of, like, yesterday I had like a mentoring session with a young man, and I'm just, while I'm communicating and interacting with him, you know, I'm praying in tongues in my mind. I'm entering into the courts even while I'm talking with him, and even while I'm explaining things to him and whatnot. And so I'm just finding this experience to where I'm communicating nonstop, which is very new to me, and becoming more and more aware, and just using all of my energy to focus on just be made aware all the time, because before I was very much I was a compartmentalized a lot of things, and so that's you know, honestly, that's where I'm at, or returning, and I don't know if I'm, you know, recalling or living off of old experiences, but returning to the garden in my heart, and experiencing, you know, the river of life and different things like that, at will. So that's where I'm at, and loving every second of it.
Excellent, very good, brilliant. Okay. Is there anything anyone wants to do today or ask, or?
I'm game for whatever.
Okay. So what would you like to do?
I don't know. What I got cut off last time.
Yeah.
David, you already shared, I can tell, because you're not speaking, so you already shared your experience a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, I know last time was definitely very very beneficial, very kind of, like I was telling, I shared with Pastor Mike and you, Mike Parsons, that anytime, you know, we get to engage, it seems like, you know, I get to go to new places when we're on these hangouts. So, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, I don't know if the other guys are wanting to, the other Mikes and Josh are wanting to go after, you know, something like that and enter into a new place, or I don't know, because I know last time it was definitely, I don't even have words for it, but amazing, you know, to see something new. So, I mean, I think I'm always up for an encounter.
Sure.
Yeah, anything new for me is good, just to kind of build that, you know, that something to build on and to be able to take with me to then grow on my own. So, anybody else?
I'm good for anything.
No, I might share I figured out one of the stumbling blocks. I know a lot of people, you know, that are kind of out there in the forefront of ministry and stuff, and I found out that one of the things, Mike and I talked about this a bit, that I had to deal with right out the gate, was learning, you know, these experiences and so forth, was a pride issue. You know, you can, you know, feel like you know things and you've engaged with God and you have a level of maturity and all of this, but I found myself having to deal with like this pride that I really didn't even know was there until it was like, okay, well, wait a minute, I haven't had this experience or I haven't done this, and where you, again, would operate in your strong gifting or whatever. And so I felt like that as I dealt with that and just really, disarmed it, that there were things that really began to open up to me.
Right.
And so, you know, some of my friends, when I'm telling them a little bit about what's going on, you know, I notice those issues will kind of rise up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And I don't think it's really anything that they're really aware of. It's just, you know, they just are out there in the world circle, and you know, you just kind of, you already kind of identify your journey to a certain extent, and it is what it is. So just want to bring that up, but I just, you know, people I'm talking to, I just feel like one of the barriers is having to deal with that, to, you know, to really enter into some things.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's one of the motives of our heart issue, you know, in terms of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to engage at different levels in the realms of heaven. dealing with thoughts and intentions of the heart is a key. And, you know, certainly the whole issue of like this sort of trading, it's like, you know, the whole pride thing comes into that. You know, and I found something similar when I was first having these encounters. You know, I met with somebody who was a national sort of recognized figure, and I found myself sharing things with him, and God spoke to me and sort of said to me in the middle of me talking to him, why are you telling him that? And it was like, I don't know. So I had this conversation in my head while I'm sort of talking to this guy. And ultimately, I wanted his approval. And so I was telling him things. Yeah, they were interesting things, but actually the motive of actually was there was actually I wanted his approval. And therefore, I just shut up. And I answered anything he asked me. But I didn't say any more because I thought, well, actually, I'm not going to trade on that because, you know, I'm using this to meet a need. And actually, I don't need that need met in someone else. God meets that need. It's his approval that I need rather than anybody else. But it is a potential trap, you know. And I think Jesus, when he talked about being yoked to him, he talked about learning from him because he was gentle and humble in heart. And I think that's the key in these things because we can come from a place of rest and peace in our relationship with him because we are knowing who we are but don't have to prove it. And therefore, it's like knowing that, you know, I think the word for gentle in the Greek was this thing about, you know, being a wild stallion but under complete control of the rider, broken effectively, having a bit in its mouth. And I think that was really what I learned from that because I can remember one of the first times that I was sat down with Jesus and he brought out a scripture and actually explained it to me and how the importance of it was about coming from a place of rest, finding rest for our souls. That's what it says in that scripture, you know, find rest for your souls, was about being gentle and humble in heart. And, you know, being gentle is not being weak, it's actually being strong, but totally surrendering that strength to God, and only for God's purpose and for God's glory and for God's kingdom, not ours. And, you know, and the whole thing of humility, again, it's not like false humility, which says, "Oh, I'm nothing and nobody." And like, it's actually knowing exactly who I am as a son of God, but not needing to prove it to anybody, just being totally secure in my identity in Him, because then I can flow out of rest without those motives that can come from the unmet needs we've got. You know, I think our soul has needs that, you know, it's found met in people. And in things in the world that offer to meet the need, but obviously generally we get pretty much hurt or damaged by that. And anything unresolved or unmet is an area of weakness that the enemy can use. And I think I found that those things got exposed. And the more I basically presented myself as a living sacrifice to God on the proviso that, hey, I want to just do your will and show me anything that was going to hinder me doing your will today, then the more he began to show me. So, you know, when I prayed, search my heart, O God, he then began to show me my heart. And I, you know, I didn't really like what I saw. None of us do we, really, when we really get to have a look at our heart apart from him. But I was willing to deal with it and again repent and renounce things and surrender, and you know, I found that, you know, that my heart began to change, and those, you know, underlying things that I weaknesses that had, I guess I just excused or didn't really want to deal with because they, you know, I didn't sort of totally identify how they functioned in my life, as I began to to pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, and particularly, you know, try me or put me on trial. You know, I would go to the court and demand my accusers tell me what the areas of weakness they were using to undermine things in my life. So I took every familiar spirit that was assigned to me and kept taking them into the court to demand the accusations. And that was really helpful because I learned all sorts of things that then I was able to be separated from those things and look towards God even more have my needs met in Him, so that the need for affirmation and acceptance and love and approval were met within Him, and then I could come from that place of rest. You know, I wasn't trying to actually meet my own needs. I found them met with Him when I acknowledged that I had them. You know, first, you know, I had to put my hands up and accept that those accusations were true. You know, and that made a big difference, you know, when I went through that process, because I found that each time I surrendered those things, I got a little deeper with God, and I found a little more about what He thought about me and the thoughts of His heart towards me, you know. And you know, when I actually said, you know, see if there's any wicked way in me or any idolatrous way in me, you know, those are the things I identified, you know, either in me or generations before me, which I don't want the enemy having anything in me. And I think this whole thing of the order of Melchizedek is that Melchizedek had no genealogy. And if we're going to be like that order of Melchizedek, then we need to have all that genealogy removed and dealt with in our lives. And I think that's part of the process. And I think even the thing you were saying earlier, that, you know, seemingly the more encounters I have, the more things sort of almost like come to the surface and cause me problems, is just how God deals with us often and allows those things, because it's like the desire of greater encounters and greater intimacy drives us towards, hey, I'm willing to get rid of anything that's a hindrance, you know, if that comes up, which is, you know, always good. To experience those things. And I certainly found, in terms of ruling and administering the kingdom, I found the more I presented myself to do God's will, the more that He dealt with those things which would be giving me wrong motives in ruling. And, you know, certainly, you know, pride is one of them. And also, you know, false humility is pride, you know, in a sense. Anything that says I don't agree with what God says about me because of something else that has happened to me or something else someone has said, really is me saying I know better than God, which is really what, in a sense, pride is that. Agreeing with God pretty quickly and realizing that, hey, I've got an awful lot to learn and I'm just a real baby in this things. Really helped, you know, because I found that, you know, the more you help people, the more blessed they get and the more they encourage you, you know. But I needed to make sure that I was not doing it for the encouragement or the nice things that people would say. So I just kept taking those things back and casting them before God as an offering to Him, because it's all about Him. You know, the only reason I've done and can do any of this stuff is because He's enabled me to do it. You know, it's not really about me having any special value above anybody else. It's just what He's called me to do, and it's all about Him. And I think that really helped in the process of growing in this. And, you know, the enemy will use every possible access he's got, so we might as well make sure we close off all the accesses and get them all sorted out. You know, but definitely an issue, I think, that we have to be careful of.
Yeah, you know, it seems like I'm finding it's a lack of exposure.
Yeah.
So, like, the more if I'm exposed more to different levels of glory, heaven, then there's a greater exposure, and then I become more aware of things, both sides, you know, things that, like you just described, that I need to deal with, but also the good side, things that are, you know, they're available to me, my identity in God and all of that, which is really, you know, great. I have one question, then I'll just keep quiet the rest of the time. I noticed there's a lot of, Mike Mundell and I were talking about this a week ago, but this whole thing with warfare and peace, you know, you're talking about peace and rest, and I was reminded the passage of Scripture where, you know, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Yeah. And some time ago, I just felt like the whole warfare thing was changing. Again, a lot of people that I've, you know, been relating to for years, they're on the forefront. It seems very warring, conflicting, and just this constant thing. And I'm not saying that there's a place for that, but I just feel like that it's a game change in the sense of bringing peace along. And in the midst of any conflict, kind of holding up the banner of peace and creating that. And I was just wondering what your take is on that in the sense of, you know, the peace, being a peacemaker versus the other side where it just seems to be very war-minded.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. I feel that a lot of the warfare-type things that God used to expose that the enemy was there, people have not moved on into fresh revelation about how to deal with it. And so they're still using the same methodology that they were using. You know, I'm not talking about casting demons out of people. That's basically just basic stuff we do when we come across it. But more about, you know, the spiritual warfare and a lot of the spiritual mapping and the stuff which was, you know, all focused on what the enemy was doing rather than, hey, well, God's bigger than all that. Yes, we understand the enemy's schemes, but actually we have authority over it because we're above it. And I think any ministries that are trying to engage the enemy who is operating in the atmosphere, who are doing it from here, are getting an intensified warfare because they're not ruling above it. And so I personally don't get involved in any warfare. I don't see the need for warring. We have angels to do that. What I do is I get judicial authority and I go to the courts and I use the court system, which I think is what prayer is about. You know, and I think we talked last time about Robert Anderson talking about the courts and you know, intensely prayer is not about warfare. It's a judicial issue of bringing righteousness and justice, which we do not have to fight for. They already exist and are our right, if you like, to administer. And so, you know, living in a place of peace and rest, and therefore bringing peace and rest through how we live and around us, I think is part of learning how to live in the eye of the storm. It's not to say that there aren't things going on in the world or warfare situations because the enemy's trying to attack us, but I don't have any expectation of backlash from the enemy or any effects on my family. I'm totally the opposite. I seek first the kingdom, and I expect His total protection, provision, and blessing in everything I do. Which is why I don't worry or be concerned about earthly things much at all. That's God's stuff. If I'm doing His business, I expect Him to look after mine. And so I don't really have really an expectation of warfare like that. You know, my responsibility is to see heaven manifested on earth through my life, and also to open the windows of heaven over the areas that I have responsibility to see the kingdom manifest through that. And if there is opposition, I have a mandate. I go to the court of angels and I send an angel or angels to go and prepare the way or clear things that warfare is their responsibility. In fact, you know, it's when Daniel prayed, you know, there was stuff going on in the atmosphere, but Daniel wasn't doing it. He just prayed and then waited. You know, and I think for us, now we can access the realms of heaven and go into the positions of authority above the atmosphere of the earth and deal with those things judicially rather than trying to deal with them in warfare. I'd rather give someone a court order that says, hey, you can't do this anymore, so stop, than try and fight them, you know, because they have to obey court orders that come from a higher realm of authority in the kingdom. And that's really what I think bringing peace is. We're not striving or struggling or trying to fight. We're enforcing authority that we have. And that enforcement is just clearly, hey, stop. Rather than I need to take my sword and my spear and my bow and arrow and try and fight you to get you to stop. They respond to authority, and when they recognize us in the heavenly realms, then they know they have to respond to the positions of authority that we're ruling from. And so, you know, I don't do any prayer, warfare, or anything like that at all. You know, I just engage with God, find out what he wants to do, get that mandate, and then release it. You know, so I think you're absolutely right. I think we need to be in a place of peace and rest because we're seated on our throne in authority. You know, a king doesn't concern with anything when he's on his throne. He knows he has the authority to rule. Therefore, let's rule and see whatever the enemy's schemes change because we bring greater levels of authority to bear. And obviously we're just learning to do that. But, you know, for me, I don't even consider spiritual warfare anymore in the way in which, you know, we used to see it. You know, and I think even things like lie busting and things like that, we found that people get delivered without all the histrionics or the manifestations, because we are operating in authority and Jesus is doing it, you know. And so that even that in itself, I think, has been, you know, a manifestation, I think, of on earth of what we're doing in the heavens. We're seeing people set free and changed and transformed so much easier because we're creating an atmosphere where the presence of God is there to do that. We just cooperate and go with it, but... Yeah.
So, can you give me some or us some practical insight? You know, scriptures, experiences. I'm really curious about the mandate portion of, you know, the protocol, whatnot. To you mentioned Daniel. Is that in or around Daniel 7 or? You know, I'm just trying to get some insight here because I'm really curious and hungry to understand more. Sure. Or to have something to build upon to take with me and just really begin to understand the mandate portion of the courts.
Sure, yeah. Well, if you think, I think Daniel was an example of what the angels were doing in response to him praying. And basically, there was opposition for the angel to come and deliver a message to Daniel, and that opposition was in the spiritual realm. And it says, you know, that eventually Michael came and defeated or removed the opposition so that the message could come through. Now, I think obviously Daniel was not operating in the same level of authority and power that we can because of we're operating under a new covenant. And so we are no longer praying from here, asking God to come down and do something.
Right.
We go up and we are either a gateway of God coming through us from heaven manifesting on earth, or we actually open up the windows of heaven and we release that which was in heaven to come down through. Now, our our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it says it is against principalities and powers and rulers and forces in the atmosphere. You know, now those do often outwork on the earth through people and through culture and through various things, but the actual battle is done in the atmosphere. And I actually personally believe that that is the role of the angelic, to do that warfare. You know, I've been in the atmosphere of the earth and I've seen some of the things there. I don't have any desire to go and do things that I can send angels to do. And it was obvious that God sent the angels to deal with that atmosphere of the earth so that the message could come through. So, again, you know, you see court things where God is asking for angelic beings to respond. You know, I think another court system, the court of the angels, where God says, well, I want to deal with this guy, Ahab, who's going to go and do that for me. And an angel comes and says, yeah, I'll go. I'll do it. Yeah, and that's when I find when I take a mandate, which, you know, as people have asked, you know, is there a difference between a scroll and a mandate and all these things? For me, a mandate is I go before the ark, I look into the presence of God, into his will, I want to come into alignment and agreement with his will, so I open up my heart there, and I see what the Father's doing. And that's what Jesus did every day. He saw what the Father's doing, that gave him his mandate, his authorization to act in accordance with the will of the Father. And I do that every day now. You know, I want a mandate for everything I do. You know, because if I'm not got a mandate for what I'm doing, I must be doing it because I think it's a good idea, or I've got an assumption that this is okay. Now, I think there's some general mandates we can get from the Word of God. You know, lay hands on the sick and see them recover, cast out demons in my name. But even that, you know, what are the things that God wants me to do rather than the things which are generally there that maybe or maybe not I'm supposed to do? So I don't make any assumptions that I used to make. And even if I come across a situation, I want to know what God's will is in that situation rather than an assumption of, okay, I'm going to help this person get out of this situation, where actually God may well be using the situation to mature them and help them, and right. I'm going to hinder them if I help them out. Wow. What I can do is help them through it and stand and support them in agreement of God's blessing and for the process they're in. So, you know, I feel that Jesus operated by seeing what the Father was doing, and I want to do the same thing that he did, you know. And if that enables me, therefore, to do more clearly those things, and maybe those things are earthly things that I need to actually do some things on earth, and some things are heavenly things where I need to do those. But what I know is I need to do the heavenly things first so that the kingdom can be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. So if I'm going to get a mandate to do something, I will go to my mountain or use the angels to go before me, to prepare the way. I will creatively speak things. I will release favor. I will send the angels ahead to prepare connections in the kingdom. All those things from that position in heaven. And I aren't really interested in most of what the enemy's doing, unless there's a scheme deliberately, or that there is a familiar spirit that's assigned to me to try and to undermine what I'm doing. And usually that will be operating through some sort of mindset or way of thinking, which, you know, I've done a lot of work on getting rid of those things and going to the courts with them so that they don't function anymore like that, you know. So absolutely there's ways of administering the kingdom which are being revealed now, and those old ways which were stepping stones we need to forget them, you know. And I think ministries that carry on doing and using those old ways are going to find that they become increasingly more difficult, because when God starts to give progressive revelation, you can't do things the old way anymore. There's no grace on it anymore, you know. And I found that myself, you know. I found trying to do things an old way is so much harder. used to work and now it doesn't, so I just don't bother. You know, I just want to find continual progressive revelation from God to say, okay, no, this is how you can now do this from a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly one. You know, and so, you know, yes, there are principalities, there are powers, and principalities are just areas of dominion that happen to be ruled by fallen angels rather than actually by us. You know, there's principalities aren't actually a creature, it's a place. So it's a territory of, like a principality of Monaco, or the Vatican City is a principality where there's a place of rule. It's who's ruling there that counts. You know, there are rulers in those of wickedness in those dark places, and that we have to deal with. You know, but it's how we deal with them. And I've found that God showed me when I first went into the atmosphere of the earth, and I began to see what was there. And then I was taken into the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, and I saw what was there on mountains. I discovered that there seemed temples that were built there. And those temples relied on our worship to build them and maintain their operation. Because the enemy wants to be worshipped. And whenever we agree with him, or whenever we operate out of fear, then literally we're worshipping the enemy. Because perfect love casts out fear, and there's no need to fear or worry or be anxious in any way. So I actually saw that there was each mountain that we had as a church, because we'd never occupied those mountains, we never knew they really existed in that realm, had a structure on it which had two pillars, and one pillar was fear, and another pillar was another thing. One of them was pride, another one was unforgiveness, another one was authority, another one was materialism, according to the mountains that we've got. And I sort of was looking at this feeling, you know, why has that got a right to be on that mountain and stopping us ruling? And, you know, when Samson was in Dagon's temple, he had his hands on two pillars, and he was able to push the whole temple down by removing the two pillars that held it all up. So we discovered that by identifying what had given the enemy the right, because we had worshipped him in some way, then we removed those temples and we began to rule. And then what that did, that removed the authority that they had in the realm of the kingdom of God to direct those that were in the atmosphere of the earth, which are over our spheres of influence, to block and to hinder and to stop it manifesting the kingdom. And then we recognized that there were cultural issues that were on earth that were a result of what those things, it's like a vicious circle, you know, what's going on in heaven influences the earth. The more the earth is influenced by what's in heaven, the more heaven gets stronger in those realms to continue to influence it. And so there were things that were probably done here years ago, you know, blood covenants, different things in the land that had caused originally the enemy to have some sort of access, that we were showed, you know, God showed us some of those things. We went to the courts with those judicially, removed the authority they had in the land, then we dealt with the authority that they had in the atmosphere and removed it, you know, and we're still working on some of those things. So that people then can become free much easier, because they don't live under the atmosphere of that culture that is created in the atmosphere of the earth and in the realm of the kingdom of God, which brings darkness, if you like, or removes light, stops the light shining. So, you know, we worked at it quite a lot, and we're still working at it, you know, but we've removed all those temples on our mountains and dealt with those things that were in the temple operating. And some of those things, you know, some people identify them as dragons, some people giants, some people they look like ogres, you know, my wife described one as looked like Jabba the Hutt, you know, it's pretty ugly looking slug thing. Mm-hmm. They were just symbolic of the nature of some of the things that were looking to usurp our authority and rule. You know, but once we identified, no, this is our place, we shifted them. You know, but we did it in three different realms. We did it on the earth, you know, in the atmosphere and above that. And now we rule from above that, and we're looking at clearing so that everlasting doors can be open on a more regular basis to see manifestation of the kingdom. But I think at the moment, you know, we've experienced revival where those everlasting doors have been open, and it's pretty intense when you get a manifestation of God's glory come, you know, and it sort of almost like totally distracts you from everything, because it's just like all consuming. It's just like you want to be in that presence, you want to see manifestations and miracles, and, you know, we've had that probably three or four times, you know, over the past 10 years. God is withholding that right now to teach us how to administer from heaven, so that when we do open these things and we see these things really move, then they're not going to be blocked, they're not going to be stopped, we're not going to have a summit that lasts a couple of months and then disappears. We want a continual opening heaven to see manifestation on earth, and therefore, you know, we're not seeing loads and loads of miracles and things because we're focused on learning how to administer. But we will see all those things when we're operating more fully in authority. And I think there are seasons that God takes you through to show you, you know, things that you need to do for the next season. You know, and we've seen the outpouring of the Spirit, but we also saw how it got stopped. You know, and if you look around most revival situations, they get stopped because the enemy is able to block them. But we want to make sure that he's not able to do that. Yeah. So we're learning to administer in authority to ensure that that does not happen in the future. But, you know, it's a process, and we're learning new things all the time, you know, in it. I don't know if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, maybe it would be good just to step in and just engage a mandate and see where God takes it. You know, it's always good to practice doing some of it. You know, and if it's, you know, sometimes we can just get a mandate which is just for now, and it's just something we do, and then we release it, and it's gone. Sometimes it's a mandate that's ongoing, and we get ongoing authority to do something. You know, I took a few people the other week up into this realm, and they took people groups. You know, they took things that God had put on their hearts that they were looking, how do I affect the kingdom into these areas or people. You know, and God gave them some pretty good mandates on that. So, in a sense, you can go with a, hey, this is something that God's placed on my heart. I want authority, greater authority. Or you can go and, okay, let's look into the presence of God around the ark and open our hearts up for him to impart something for today or for the future. So it would be good maybe just to step in and see where that goes and, you know, look to maybe engage with the mountain and some of the things to help us do that, if that's okay. Okie dokie. Right. Well, what I would encourage you to do in any of these things, it's basically engaging, you know, our spirit and, you know, stepping in to the open heaven that we've got. So I would encourage you just to close your eyes. We're under an open heaven right now. We can just step into the realm of his presence. Jesus is just standing in the door, waiting to receive us, and just feel his presence, sense his presence, feel his pleasure of you coming to him right now into this realm of responsibility in the kingdom. As we're co-heiring with him, as we're being joint heirs, as we're sharing the ministry of sonship, just feel how joyful he is, the pleasure of his heart to be able to lead us. So just let Jesus take you by the hand and just take you through the veils that are between the realms of the kingdom. So we go through the veil into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, as he would just take you through the veil into the realm of heaven, and through that veil of the life into the presence of God, around the ark of his presence. As we just begin to look into his presence, the blood on the mercy seat, an ever reminder of our access to come boldly into his presence. So we just come around his presence. As we think about his name and who he is. Just think of the yod and the hey and the vav and the hey of his name, the lion, the ox, the eagle of the man. Just begin to look into his will. Open up your heart as we just spend some time around his presence. Just allow him to give you a mandate, an authorization, as you look into his will, as you begin to resonate, come into agreement. Just allow your heart and the desires of your heart to be touched at a deeper level. Just receive that mandate. And just allow Jesus now to take you again by the hand and lead you through the doorway to take that mandate, to take that authorization that you've received. And take it to your mountain. And as you begin to sit on the throne, just feel the authority that you have. As you have your throne and your crown and your scepter and your mantle, just allow your spirit to engage that mandate. Just sense. Is there anything you need to release? Is there anything you need to creatively call forth from your mountain? Just begin to see the earth from the perspective of your mandate. a canopy of angels recognizes your authority. If this is a new mandate, I just let Jesus take you by the hand and take you to Court of Chancellors. And as you stand before the bench with the chancellors, present your mandate, present your heart to them. They may have a scroll that they begin to write on. They may have seals that they seal and authorize things. They may give you revelation of the judicial process that you need to go through. Just be open to receive. You may sense some of the cloud of witnesses, the men in white linen, come around when you present mandates and scrolls to the chancellors, as they recognize that which they can associate according to their destiny. Now, if you receive a scroll, if you receive an authorization, again, just let Jesus take you now, again, through the veils and dimensions, and take you to the court of angels. Now, look for angelic assignment. Present your authorization. There are often legions standing, waiting for assignment. You may feel called to direct them into the atmosphere of the earth, to go before you, to prepare the way, to open up relationships and connections in the kingdom, for the outworking of the mandate that you receive. Just allow your spirit to direct you as it comes from the authorization that you've received into directing the angels. Now just let Jesus again just take you by the hand, bring you back to your mountain, and just allow your spirit to begin to engage. As you look, you may see the seven mountains below. Again, just begin to see if there's anything associated with those mountains where the enemy has any authorization. Anything, any structures, you may see any creatures that are there. Just be open to see. If there's anything you feel you need to administer, if there's anything you need to receive authority to deal with, anything familiar that's operating, blocking, hindering, obstructing you, outworking your mandate, you can go into the court, the mobile court, the court of accusation. And demand to hear the accusations as we stand clothed in new robes of righteousness, God's throne manifesting as judge, Jesus standing as our advocate. We have angelic witnesses on our behalf. If there's anything you need to deal with in your own life, anything that's been a persistent issue, can stand under the covering of his word, of his blood, accept the accusation that might come, agree with it. If there's anything which is generational, then you can stand identificationally on behalf of those generations. Just allow Jesus, your advocate, to give you wisdom and insight on what to do. And as you stand under God's judgment, he declares you and your family line not guilty, righteous, and he releases the judgment of God against your accusers, against those that seek to obstruct or hinder, and he gives you court orders and authority over that area of your life, over that area of obstruction or hindrance, to administer that authority to break every mindset that's been operating to set you free and bring you into a new revelation, a new sense of authority and power, that every familiar spirit in association comes under God's judgment. You have authority and power. Now just take that authority again to your mountain and just begin to administer it. Speak. Frame your world. Frame this mandate according to your words. As you speak creatively, call forth that which will come into agreement and alignment. Speak creatively. You may use the keys of the kingdom to bind things to God's purpose for this mandate, to loose things that are hindrances and obstructions. You can speak to the mountains and command them to be moved. Because you carry judicial authority. Now we can just begin to step back through the veil, back into this realm, carrying with us as a gateway of heaven to manifest that authority over our life, through our life, to administer that mandate that we've been given on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. Right. Feel free if you want to stay there and carry on exploring that. I've got to go. But you know, if you want to just carry on in your own place where you're on, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
God bless you, and talk to you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll schedule.